Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. It's Chuck-a-Buck of the Morning Sports Radio 950 KJR. Not just Thanksgiving week, but also, of course, Apple Cup week. And so a special edition hour coming your way here on Sports Radio 950 KJR. We brought in our own Dick Fain and our own Jim Moore. I'm happy to say our own Jim Moore this hour for a little roundtable conversation about not just this Friday's game, but where these two programs sit right now. It's been a crazy couple of years in college football. And so this hour we round table. Bucky, are you ready for this? Are you ready for a little Fain versus Moore?
Yeah, I am. Yeah. I love listening to these two fan bases bicker back and forth. It's music to my soul.
Jim, first and foremost, I would just like to say I apologize personally for the way that I haven't been there to be able to welcome you properly to Sports Radio 950 KJR. And I would like to say it's about time you left the dark side, but I think maybe you've joined the dark side. So welcome, Sith Lord, to the family here at Sports Radio 950 KJR.
Well, thanks, Chuck and Bucky, Ashley. Appreciate you having me on. And, yeah, it's been great. Everybody's been so nice. And you know what? I might be the one apologizing here in a second because I get bad reception at my house cell phone, and so I moved to a different location, but I'm not sure if this one's going to work either. But I appreciate the welcome there, and I've really had a good time working with Puck and all you guys.
Yeah, well, I've always enjoyed our interactions in the past, so I look forward to normalcy and being able to be in studio and then hand the show off to you in person here in the very near future. And Dick, of course, happy Thanksgiving to you. Thanks for joining us, man. We appreciate it.
No problem. I thought I was going to be on the phone as well because I thought I was going to be in a car outside my kids' piano lesson teacher's house for an hour while they were in there. But my wife stepped up and said, "Oh, you got to do an hour of radio." She's like, "I can take the kids. She's got the day off today." So thanks to Jana. Well done, Jana.
Well, I think the roundtable would be great with a little bit of chopsticks from an amateur.
That's right.
You know, let's hear a little bit of that. All right, Jim. Well, we're going to be getting to know you. And Fain, correct me if I'm wrong on this, by the way. But Puck is the kind of Coug fan. He's great at trash talk, but you better be careful because he can go from laughing to angry pretty quickly. Right, Fain? Wouldn't you say that about Puck?
And as the decade has progressed in this Husky dominance, he has talked less and less and less and less to the point where Softy and I were actually kind of disappointed yesterday, to be perfectly honest. Softy did everything he possibly could to bait Puck, and Puck was not biting yesterday. So I don't know if he's just been beaten down by the continual Husky lashings that he's received over the last 8 years or what.
Wow.
But he's not nearly as chippy, at least with us, that he's been in past years.
All right, he was good with us yesterday. And then
was
Ian,
he?
And I think Ian is the type, he's like, I got to get away from these Husky fans, find some beer and some Coug so I can talk trash about them. I think that's the kind of Coug fan that Ian is. So, Jim, what kind of a Coug fan would you describe yourself as? Did we lose Jim?
Oh, here, I found you. Sorry, you guys. If you're wondering what kind of Coug fan I am, I'm just one who's very confident this year, and I don't have to say because I think even Husky, we have a much better team this year.
Oh, man, we are losing Jim.
I can't believe that Las Vegas has figured it out. Chuck, we have covered every spread, or at least we tied against Oregon against the spread since late September, and it's not going to stop now against the Huskies. We're favored by 1.5 points is all? Are you kidding me? Over that horse bleep team? Come on. Yes, you've been watching both teams?
I think he just answered my question without really needing to answer my question. So there you go. What do you think, Fain? Has it been a horse bleep team this year?
Well, it's been a horse bleep season. There's no question about that. And I think we're seeing with the Huskies what we're seeing with the Seahawks. And that is when you get substandard quarterback play, it really doesn't matter that much what you do with the rest of the team. The Husky defense has been as good as advertised. I mean, we were hoping. In fact, it has been better than advertised. Because at the beginning of the season, Softy and I were talking, okay, where do we think we're going to rank in the Pac-12 in points allowed? And we were like, okay, well, definitely top three. You can just start with the Jimmy Lake team, and you can just say top three is an absolute 100% chance. Can we get to two or one? And we thought, they'll probably be second. They're first, guys. The defense has done everything they possibly can. They're number one in the country in pass defense. The running game is starting to come along after being really bad at the beginning of the season, but it's the quarterback play. It's the quarterback play, just like it's the quarterback play with the Seahawks. 3 weeks of Geno Smith, 2 weeks of substandard Russell Wilson. You're not going to win games like that. But like the Huskies, the Seahawks are in every single game, despite the fact that their quarterback hasn't done it.
Jim, do you see a defense that the Cougs are going to have any trouble with?
I'm having a hard time keeping a straight face and not laughing while Dick is talking, because I mean, I don't really look at the stats. I just watch the games, and I think that same defense he's talking so highly about, didn't they give up 35 or 36 points against Arizona State, and haven't they allowed more than 200 yards rushing in five games and over 300 yards in two games? And like against Oregon, it was comical. I kept waiting for Anthony Brown to take the ball himself, and they were on the sideline. Cristobal was like, oh, you know what, just give it to Travis Dye, and he'll get us 8 yards every time. So if that's the same defense Dick is talking about, I don't know exactly what he's been watching this year, but I see a defense that Max Borgi and Deion McIntosh and Jaden Delora, if, you know, Puck's worried about this, and I understand why, because we get past happy being Cougs, but we need to run the ball and take advantage of the Huskies' main weakness. I don't want to see us throwing the ball too much. I mean, I think if Husky fans haven't seen Jaden Delora, that's what a really good quarterback looks like, and you're going to see a lot of him on Friday.
Jim's exactly right, guys. And the Cougars will win this football game if they commit to the run. I just don't know if they will. I mean, I know it's a different coaching staff than it's been the last decade. I know they'll run the ball more than they did under Mike Leach, because, you know, Mike Leach had the brilliant idea of giving the ball to Max Borgi like seven times on a touchdown drive to start the last Apple Cup, and then he decided that I think he forgot that Max was on the football team after that. I don't think Jake Dickert's going to do that. And if they do commit to the run, particularly if they run right down the middle of the Husky defense, and we're talking about interior defensive line, we're talking about linebackers right there, we're talking about safeties, that's where the Huskies are weak, and that's where teams, like he mentioned, Arizona State in the second half, Oregon, Michigan, Oregon State, many teams have done that. But every one of those teams that we just mentioned does that for a living. Every one of the teams that the Huskies have struggled with runs the football for a living. The Cougars do not run the football for a living. So can they change what they do to fit the Huskies' defensive weaknesses, or are they going to play typical spread-it-out Cougar football? And if they do, they're going to run into problems. I totally agree with Jim. They're going to beat the Dogs if they decide to hammer it down the Huskies' throat. But I don't know if they'll decide to do that.
Well, one thing I'm wondering is I don't understand the argument that I hear a lot of Husky fans of, well, if you don't do it this year, then you just never will do it. Because you're right, Dick. You're kind of pointing out the fact that if they can't change their stripes and run the ball the way that they, well, I would think that they're capable of doing against the Dogs' run defense, then there is a chance that the Huskies could beat them, even if they're on their worst year in quite some time. I mean, Jim, do you think that this is a team that can change its stripes, so to speak, and just say, you know what, we're not gonna pound our head against the wall and try to pass against, that's the strength of this team? Or are they going to run into the same problems that we've watched with previous coaches?
I don't think so. First off, Bucky, who are you rooting for? You got to be rooting for the Cougs, man. I know you're a Duck guy, so you can't be possibly rooting for Washington, are you?
Sinkhole? I'm rooting for a sinkhole, if that's possible.
Just like, no, Earth, come on, man.
Man, I'm torn. See, so as a Duck fan, I'm not your normal.
Why would you be torn?
Well, because I don't have the same hatred towards the Huskies as the Huskies have towards the Ducks. And growing, playing baseball at LC State, our biggest rival was the Cougars. So I have my own little thing. When it comes to football, I probably dislike the Huskies more. But when it comes to actual my thing, we whooped up on UW and Wazoo when it came to baseball, but Wazoo was kind of the ones that they were right next door, and they always thought they were our big brothers, and we had to go up there and slap them around a little bit.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. With your question about whether we're going to run, we have a coach now, and I know Mike Leach brought a lot of success to Cougar football, and everybody's grateful for that, and actually, I'm glad he's in Mississippi State, because I don't know. I kind of like having a coach that has some class. And I think Jake Dicker does. And I also think he's not as stubborn as Mike Leach. And I think he's going to recognize that, hey, you know what? We need to adjust to what's going to work best for us. And, I mean, those guys, I mean, Dick's talking about it. You guys have a great pass defense, as you do. And so why would you challenge that? Why don't you just run the ball? You've got two great running backs. Are really good. Whatever you think about Borgie and McIntosh, those kids have been great this year. Borgie, sometimes, you know, he goes horizontal. He's going east to west, and I'm going, no, Max, north-south, come on, buddy. And Deion McIntosh, he goes north-south every single time. So it's a nice complementary attack we have, and I'm sure that Jake Dickert is looking at all of this and going, you know what, let's run the ball like Oregon did, and then we'll take our shots when we get the opportunity.
Do you like Dickert? Is he going to stick?
Oh, man. Chuck, I love Dickert. I absolutely love him. And Puck and I had him on a couple weeks ago, and we were going on and on about how much we loved him, that he's offered to give us a cut of whatever he makes if he's named the permanent coach, like an agent would get. And so I'm all on board with that, especially since he said that. But, no, I think he's provided some continuity with what happened with Rolovich, and then you get Jake Dickert in there, 38 years old, the defensive coordinator, and, yeah, I think he's got head coach written all over him. I think the kids are playing hard for him. I mean, yeah, we lost to Oregon, but we were in the game in the fourth quarter, and we lost to BYU, but that's a good BYU team that we lost to by 2 points and won the other games that we played. And we were really impressive down at ASU. It was so much fun going down there and sitting in the sunshine and watching the Cougs just hammer on Sparky. That was just a beautiful thing. So, yeah, I'm hoping that Pat Chun, after we beat the Huskies in the Apple Cup, that he's waiting in the tunnel with a head coaching contract for Jake Dickert.
Fain, who's going to be on the sidelines next year for the Huskies?
Oh, boy. It won't be Jake Dickert, and it won't be any coach that has only 2 years experience as a D1 defensive coordinator and 16 games experience as a Power 5 defensive coordinator. So, I mean, you can – hey, maybe Jake Dickert works out, guys. God bless you, but I don't think there's going to be any Husky fans that are going to feel bad if Jake Dickert's hired as the head coach of the Cougars for next year. As far as the Dogs go, guys – it's tough because Husky fans, most Husky fans, at least, okay, the Twitter Husky fans, which are kind of the psychotic Husky fans, but the Twitter Husky fans all want the big name. I don't even really think they can tell you who the big name is. I mean, the big name they wanted in the first week of the search was Bob Stoops. Well, Bob Stoops isn't coming to Washington. So now who's the big name? I don't even think Husky fans can tell you. I think that they would be satisfied and pleased with Matt Campbell. I think they'd be satisfied and pleased with a Dave Aranda. I would be satisfied and pleased with a Kalani Sitake. I would even be fine with a Justin Wilcox. I don't think many Husky fans would be. I think that I think if Jen Cohen hires somebody like a Wilcox, that will be seen by, whether it's reality or not, it'll be seen by many Husky fans as, oh, she couldn't get A, B, C, D, and E, so she settled on the guy that she knew was going to come. Because Justin Wilcox will come in 2.3 seconds if she calls him. So I don't think the Husky fans want somebody she's settling for. I think he'd do a nice job. I can remember another head coach named Lorenzo Romar, who was the fourth choice by Barbara Hedges. And he turned out to be the best Husky basketball coach maybe of all time. I mean, you can make that argument. So I really don't care where you're on the pecking order. I just want to see something that works.
Boy, what a strange couple of years, man. I mean, 25 years from now, Jim, I mean, somebody's going to be looking at past Apple Cup games and say, well, why didn't you play that year? And then you're telling me that both the programs had head coaches and they never met in an Apple Cup? And then we're going to have a Gregory versus Dickert, perhaps one-time only matchup this year, and then maybe we get back to some normalcy next season. I mean, what a strange, weird journey it's been the last couple of seasons.
Chuck, it's been crazy, and you know, I should be ripping on Dick, but going to anyway, if you don't mind. I just, you know, okay, he brings up Lorenzo Romar, like, oh, Trevor, wasn't he the season? Michael Porter Jr. and Nathan Hale and Brandon Roy, and then grabbed his godfather or whatever to be an assistant coach. I mean, you talk about shenanigans. And everybody always talks about Lorenzo Romar, a man of integrity, and I'm just like, yeah, really? Seriously? Okay, so I'm done with that. Now, and the other thing that I get a kick out of is that Husky fans just sit there and think, oh, yeah, we're proud Washington. We're going to get whoever we want as the next head football coach. And I'm going, really? Like, who wants to come and coach you guys so bad? And Justin Wilcox, I hope you do hire him. Have you seen what he's doing at Cal? Next to nothing. I mean, you think your offense is bad now? It's going to be just as bad with Justin Wilcox in town. Question, Chuck, I forget.
I don't know. I forget. I couldn't hear what you said there at the end, but yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you on the Cal part of it. I mean, if you're going to say be that frustrated about the offense this year, don't go hire the most boring offense in the Pac-12 to take its place. But yeah, we are in the midst of an Apple Cup roundtable with Jim Moore and Dick Fain. We'll let them go toe to toe some more as we continue here on the program, and we'll talk about some quarterback play in our next segment. It's Chuck and Buck Sports Radio 950 KJR.
Catch that you'll love.
Good morning, Chuck and Buck, and the morning's special edition. An Apple Cup roundtable for you. Of course, the game Friday right here at Sports Radio 950 KJR. And so we have summoned Dick Fain to talk Huskies, and we've summoned Jim Moore, brand new member of our staff here at Sports Radio 950 KJR, Jim Moore, to talk on the Coug side of things. And turns out, Bucky, Ashley, Jim didn't need to be told, hey, it's okay to talk trash.
But he does it in the nicest way. You know, he's got a smile on his face while he's doing it, which makes me laugh every time.
Yeah, turns out Jim Moore doesn't have any reservations about talking trash.
Yeah, it's great. Keep it up, Jim.
Well, yeah, I think this is a really good talk because even Husky fans are thinking they're going to lose. I mean, the only thing Husky fans have going for them this year is the history, and I understand why. I mean, you know, they're probably like, oh, they're going to cook it somehow. They'll find a way to lose. And, you know, they might be right about that because there for a while I was just thinking the last seven Apple Cups, I was looking at it yesterday, we've lost by an average of 21 points. So I don't blame Husky fans for having a little bit of confidence, but when you just look at the two teams, we're the much better team. I think I said that already, but I think I'll keep saying that until you guys are done with me.
Dick,
come on, man. Aren't we a better team than you guys?
Oh, you've played much better. There's no question. There's no question. Now, we talked about scheme earlier. Your scheme doesn't exactly fit. If you were a power running team, I'd throw my hands up already. Be like, well, dude, they're just going to do what Oregon State did.
We can run the ball.
Okay, I want to see it. I want to see it. I think you're right. I think you can run the ball. I want to see the commitment to running the ball. And as much as I love your quarterback, and I do love your quarterback, and I have watched a lot of Jaden Delore, Jim. I love my wife's a Coug, remember? So I watch a lot of Coug.
Oh, that's right. Married up.
Jaden, I did do that. Jaden Delora is, I love it when he gets out of the pocket. However, he's got a little Brett Favre, I can put the ball in places that I probably shouldn't put the ball in. And he can get away with that in a lot of games. He's not getting away with that against the Husky secondary. So if he thinks he can put the ball into small windows in the middle of the field, I welcome him to it, because that is the one place on this football team that we thought the Huskies would be elite, and they've been every bit as elite as we thought they'd be.
Well, Dick, I completely agree with you on that. He does take some chances, but we found some common ground here. I think that's one of the Cougar fans' biggest fears, is that as good as DeLore is, sometimes he makes some throws where you're going, boy, Jaden, what'd you see there? There was a pass against Oregon that he was just trying to throw away, and he nearly had it intercepted. We're going to lose if we lose the turnover thing. And yeah. Jaden DeLore is capable of throwing a couple of interceptions. I'm fine if he throws one in the Apple Cup, but just not two or three.
Yeah, what was the hand-wringing about over this guy, Jim? I mean, why on earth was there any doubt who should be the starting quarterback at the beginning of the year based on what you saw from the kid last year and then the way he's played since he finally got handed the reins?
Well, Puck and I have talked about that, and I'm sure Cougar fans have too. I think they brought in Garantano from Tennessee, and he had all kinds of experience playing in the SEC. And they thought, well, okay, let's go with the experienced guy and we'll develop DeLore along the way, I suppose. And then the other thing, I gave Rolovich some slack on that because I thought, well, he's going to practice. He sees what we're not seeing. And DeLore had some off-field issues in the off-season. So I think maybe all of that combined to give Garantano a shot. But when you watch Garantano, and I looked at the comments from Tennessee fans, and they were like, well, good luck with that guy. He's not gonna wow you with anything he does. And so when you factored that in, I thought, why aren't they going with DeLore? That kid looked really good last year. I mean, the first game he played in against Oregon State, he was sensational. I mean, he's just running around all over the place, making good throws, good decisions. And so, yeah, that was a little mystifying when they had Garantano out there for a while.
Nick, what's going on with the Huskies quarterback? Is Heward possibly going to start in this game?
I don't think so. I think we're going to see the same old, same old. We're going to roll Dylan Morris out there. He's going to get a scripted first couple of series, and he's going to look really, really good in the first couple series, like he did against Arizona State. 14-0 in that game. Comes out against Colorado. Two long drives. Now, one of them happened to be dropped at the 5-yard line and returned for a touchdown the other way. But that being said, he still led the Huskies on two long drives at the beginning of the game. And then the scripting is over, and it's just your regular play calls for the rest of the game. And it's just, you talk about bad decisions. I mean, the difference between DeLore and Dylan Morris is, I mean, DeLore has a reason to think he can throw balls into windows because he does it successfully sometimes. there's times that I've got no idea what Dylan Morris is looking at out there. But yes, I think he's going to start. Softy and I have talked about this numerous times. What quarterback gives you the best chance to win? And all of us kind of revert to it's probably the guy that started every game the last 2 years probably gives you the better chance. We say that as our, like Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh, because they didn't allow Sam Heward to get enough reps over the course of the season. Do we really think that Sam Heward is going to still be here in 2025? I mean, was it really that important to only play him in 3 games thus far? And in those 3 games, only play him a series or two? I mean, Sam Heward, I don't think, is any better a quarterback now than he was in September because he hasn't had the opportunity to get into games and play. So, and the scripted get the backup quarterback in for a series or two in the second quarter has done nothing for the backup quarterback, and B, is actually hurt the momentum of the football team. I mean, look what they did at Arizona State. They brought Sam Heward in a 14-0 game on their own 4-yard line. And they said, here you go, kid. We're out to a great start. Now lead them at your own 4-yard line. And so it's been really, really tough to watch the quarterback position this year, and it is by far the number one frustration amongst Husky fans in 2020.
Jim, what would you prefer? What would you prefer? Would you want them to play Sam Heward, or would it give you fear if they decided to play Sam Heward? Do you want to give him a little spanking like the little kid that he is, or do you want him to sit on the sidelines?
Hey, Bucky, I don't even care who they throw out there. I know we're going to win anyway. Honestly, go ahead, trot Sam Heward out there. And Dick, you think he's going to be there? You don't think he's going to be there in 2025? If I'm Sam Heward, I don't want to be there in 2022. I'm thinking, well, you know, my uncle played here and my dad played here, but come on, this is what's happening here? I don't want to spend the rest of my college career here. And then, you know, trashing on Dylan Morris, I get it, I suppose, as a Husky fan, I might be trashing on that kid too, but I watched the whole Colorado game. The snapper was your problem that day. I didn't think it was Dylan Morris's fault. Did he throw two interceptions? Yeah, but was one his fault? Yes. One not so much his fault? Did Bucky, Chuck, did he not throw for 387 yards last week? And they're talking about benching that kid? If I'm Dylan Morris, I'm going, seriously? I think I did okay. I think I held up my end in Boulder. So why are we talking about Sam here? Sam Heward's going to come. If Sam Heward was so great, wouldn't he have been in there by now? I mean, wouldn't we have seen more of Sam Heward? It's just like I was talking about with Rolovich in practice. Jimmy Lake and Bob Gregory, they've seen all the practices. So Sam Heward, is he going to come in and save the day? Not against the Cougs this year.
Jim Moore and Dick Fain with us. It's an Apple Cup roundtable here this morning as we get you set for Friday right here at Sports Radio 950 KJR. I think Jim Moore's going to be able to handle himself all right on future trash talking segments.
Yeah. He's going to do okay. I hope he put. I mean, he's so sure they're going to win. I mean, I hope he put all his retirement on the Cougs minus the 1.5 because it's the freaking
it,
surest bet ever.
Yeah. I'm proven that I've got a big mouth, but I do put my money where my mouth is. I can guarantee you that, and it will hurt. It will hurt bad. I want to tell you something. I think this is one of the best bets I've made in my life. Because we're only favored by one over you guys? I mean, come on. Even Husky fans think that's ludicrous. I mean, I can't even say the word. I just get so worked up. I love the Cougs, and I love the Apple Cup. It's my favorite week of the year. And Chuck and Bucky and Dick, even if we lose, it's like, okay, you know, God, you talked a big game, you lost again. Well, I mean, I've been through this before. I think I can handle it. I've been watching Cougar football since 1974. I've walked out of stadiums with my chin dragging on the ground before, but you know what? I'm just proud as hell to be a Coug anyway. And if we lose, I'm still going to be, you know, singing the fight song anyway.
Yeah, a little poorer, it sounds like, but yeah, still singing the fight song. We'll have one more segment with Jim and with Dick. It's our Apple Cup roundtable here on Chuck and Buck Sports Radio 950 KJR. Chuck Powell, Bucky Jacobson, Ashley Ryan with you. We are doing an Apple Cup, a special edition Apple Cup roundtable with our own Dick Fain and our own Jim Moore. And I get what Jim Moore's prepared for here in our final segment on Friday. He's prepared. I hope that the family's prepared. I hope the grandkids are prepared, that nothing's going to be left for them if the Cougars don't win on Friday. They'll just have to make it on their own. The dogs are going to have to forego their biscuits from this day forth, because it sounds like Jim Moore is all in on the Cougs on Friday, emotionally and financially. Do I have that right, Jim?
You do have that right, and it's the same thing every single year. But usually, Chuck, it's blind loyalty to my alma mater. But this year, I think there's a reason to think that we're going to win. I think Dick would even maybe admit that. Dick, I hope you don't hate me after this hour.
Oh, no.
Been really pleasant. It's exactly what I expected when I got up at 7:45 this morning for the next hour on my day off.
what are you prepared for Friday, Dick? What is your true expectation for what goes down?
I'm prepared for the Huskies to make mistakes like they do every single game. The question is, will those mistakes be capitalized on? Will they be fumbles, interceptions in the middle of the field that just turn into three and outs for the Cougs? or will there be mistakes like there was last week? Because I think Jim even had to admit the Huskies absolutely dominated the Colorado Buffaloes last week in Boulder. They played an excellent game other than four plays, and those four turnovers absolutely killed the Washington Huskies. If the Huskies play like they did last week, they'll win, period.
Oh.
But can they play a whole game like that without the fatal mistakes? That's the thing, and that's the thing we haven't seen consistently enough from this team and this offense. The running game is going to be a key. We've talked about the running game for Cougs against the run defense for the Huskies. Well, let's flip it around for a second. I mean, I've heard the last hour about the Huskies can't stop the run, Huskies can't stop the run, which is accurate. They're 101st in college football in yards allowed per carry. Well, guess who's 103? Washington State. They're a worse run defense than Washington is. So if Kamari Pleasant, Cameron Davis, Sean McGrew, whoever the heck gets the ball back there, whoever's healthy enough to get the ball, we know it's not going to be Richard Newton. If the Huskies can do the same thing that we just talked about the Cougars having to do, and that's committing to the run and working their passing game in off the run, off of play action, off of something where Dylan Moore feels comfortable in the pocket and is not forcing things, then absolutely the Huskies win. There's a reason it's only a point game, guys. I mean, there's a reason Vegas thinks this is a point and a point and a half. Vegas is a hell of a lot smarter than me and a hell of a lot smarter than Jim Moore. And there's a reason that it's a 1.5-point game, because I do honestly think for the most part it's a toss-up, because you've got the more talented team at home with the scheme advantage. Now, everything else points to the Cougars. Every intangible in the world, how they're playing, what they have at stake, the coaching situation – everything intangible points to the Washington State Cougars. Yeah. But nobody would debate which has the more talented team. Nobody would debate who has the
more. Yes, I would.
Really?
Why shouldn't I debate that? Why wouldn't I debate that? Because you have more blue chippers than we do, and we've got red chippers and white chippers? Or we've got three-star and two-star guys, and you guys have four-star and five-star guys?
Has there been many years? I'm just talking about. I'm not talking about who's played better this year. I'm talking about the top end potential of the guys on the field.
Okay. Well, I won't debate you on that. I guess. Las Vegas being smarter than me, I will agree with you on that. I don't understand that betting line at all, based on what I've seen from both teams this year. But you brought up a good point to history. You know, the history's part of it, and then you guys are at home. We find a way to lose these games against the Huskies. So, I don't know, though, Dick. And you're right about our run defense. It's not great. Our defense isn't great. It's okay. We're really good at forcing turnovers, though, and you guys are really good at giving up the ball. So that's a nice combination going into the Apple Cup.
It is, and that's why the Huskies have to play super conservative. They have to play super conservative and just play not to make mistakes, and then hopefully you can open it up a little bit later when Dylan Morris is really comfortable.
I want to come to the Jim Moore sports book, though, at some point. I'd like to see you go against Vegas head-to-head, Jim. What's that look like? What kind of lounge do we have? Leather chairs in there?
I actually have a pretty good little sports book downstairs at our house. I've got three screens on one wall, so I'm watching. It's like a mini sports book, and then I just get on my computer. I don't have to go up to the counter to get a ticket betting on a game. I just go on my computer and go to one of those offshore sites. And like last night, I had UCLA in 7. I mean, Dick, you talk about a dumb bet, and I know you're a Gonzaga fan. What was I thinking? Thinking the Bruins were going to get within 7 of that team.
I was actually with you. I was actually with you. I thought that spread was too big, and they got hit by a buzz saw last night. There is no question about that.
I'm picturing a leather sofa sitting there making a couple bets, smoking a cigar at the Jim Moore Sportsbook, and then go next door. I'm sure I want to roll some dice if I'm getting tired of the game, Jim. So do you have maybe in the pantry, maybe you got like a craps table in there?
Oh, I love craps.
No. I love craps. Actually, I love craps too, but I quit playing because I got tired of losing. I think it's more fun to bet $100 on a game. You have 3 hours of entertainment. You're guaranteed 3 hours of entertainment most times.
Yeah, true.
But at the craps table, craps table, $100 can go in what, 5 minutes, 10 minutes sometimes?
Oh, well, you got to bet low like me.
Let me tell you something. I had three of the most exciting seconds of my life blowing $100 on a roulette table.
Oh, gosh. Oh, yikes.
What'd you take? Did you take, you bet on a number?
Well, no, you just throw it down there. I did one of those like Woody Harrelson, you know, I had a, you know, I'll bet a guy that he can sleep with my girlfriend if it comes up on black. That's what I did.
Nice. Softy one time gave me money for roulette, and he said, here, go put $20 on black. So I went down, put $20, lost it, came back up. I said, I lost it. He goes, okay, go put $20 down on red. Went down, lost it, came back. He goes, okay, go put $20 down on and pick it. And I picked it and lost it, and I went back. I was like, I don't think you should give me any more of your money.
I always bet on zero and double zero because they're green, and you can, when you follow the ball around the thing, you know where your numbers are.
Oh, that's smart.
I don't have time, but I actually have the best craps story ever. So I will tell you about that at another date. But that will wrap up the round table. Jim, where are you going to be taking it in? Are you going to be at the sports book, or are you going to be at the stadium?
I'll be at the stadium with my wife and kids, and I want to be there for all the happiness or the sadness. We'll see.
Fane, what about you?
I will be on the sidelines once again this week.
You will be on. Oh, you're on the sidelines. Is Tony out? Wait a minute, yeah, is Tony out?
I'll be on the sidelines. Come on, Rick. Fire up.
I'll be on the sidelines this week. Let's go.
You know,
while my family tailgates outside.
Hey, something Elise has never tried on the air, drinking a beer while on the sidelines. You should try that.
I vote for that.
Yeah.
All right. Smuggle something in.
Enjoy, gentlemen. Thank you very much for an hour of your time this morning. That was fun.
Good luck, Jim.
Hey, thanks. Good luck, Dick. Go Cougs.
Yeah.
All right, there they are. Dick Fane, Jim Moore. Our Apple Cup Roundtable comes to a close here this morning. Coming up next, it wouldn't be a Wednesday. It wouldn't be a Wednesday Thanksgiving week if we didn't do a Mama Said Mock You Out draft. Sports Radio 950.